Scripture reading for this afternoon, you can find in Exodus chapter 31. Moses is spoken to by the Lord when he's on the mountain. Remember 40 days? Children of Moses was 40 days on the mountain. And the Lord spoke to him all that time. We know in Exodus 20, God spoke the Ten Commandments to all people. And then he called Moses to come to him. And then at the end of this chapter, you'll see chapter 32 is when the people were waiting for Moses and he didn't show up. Remember, then they made that golden image of the calf. We saw that a while back. Now we read then chapter 31, God speaking to Moses. Let's hear the word of God. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezaliel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And behold, I've given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I've put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table, and its furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering, with all his furniture, and the laver and his foot, and the cloths of service, and the holy garments for Aaron and the priest, and the garments for his sons to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil, and sweet incense for the holy place. According to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do." And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it's a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it's holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God." As far. Dear congregation, children, when soldiers went to battle, and I think it's still in a lot of ways the same, they rally behind a standard, a flag, or they call it also an ensign, something that signifies or symbolizes whom they fight for, so that they be stronger in fighting against the enemy. So the ensign, the flag, the standard was raised high, and if somebody was killed that held it, somebody else quickly picked it up and held it high. Everybody would see it. It's like an encouragement for them that they were fighting the same cause, the same enemy. At the one hand, it was a sign of separation, and at the other hand, it was a sign of devotion. We are one. We belong together. We fight a common enemy. So there was a sign, a mark, or a standard for the people of God, and still is. And guess what that sign is? If you read along in Exodus 31, you may have seen it already in the text. We hope to consider this afternoon, Exodus 31, verse 13. Let's hear the word of God. The Lord speaking to Moses just before Moses goes down the mountain and sees these people in adultery and idolatry. Speak thou also, in addition to what I said to you about the tabernacle and so forth, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it's a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I'm the Lord that doth sanctify you. So the theme is the sign of the Sabbath of our Lord. Three parts of that: to rest in Him, to worship Him, and to serve Him. That's how broad the sign of the Sabbath is. First, to rest in Him. Verily, my Sabbaths, plural, you shall keep. We want to do that together with not only this text, but in context of Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 and Lord's Day 38. Let me read Lord's Day 38. The back of your Psalter, page 74, you can find that. There's one question. What does God require or command in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God, to hear His word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor, as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. So you see how it's going from the past into the future. This Sabbath thing is not just a temporary thing. It's something that's ongoing. There remains yet a Sabbath, we read in Hebrews. So let's look now at the Ten Commandments. The fourth. First, in Exodus 20, where the people of Israel stood on Mount Sinai and heard it directly from the word of God. Exodus 20, verse 8. Just the fourth commandment. Verse 8 through 11. It's one of the lengthiest of all the commandments in the scripture, together with the one to not make images. It begins positively. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea that, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Here the Lord is reminding them that this is a creation ordinance. Remember. In other words, it's something they knew already. Then, 40 years later, when they have traveled through the wilderness for 40 years and the older generation has died, the new generation stands by the Jordan River ready to go into the promised land, Moses repeats the law, but he says it slightly different. See if you can catch it. Deuteronomy 5, verse 12 through 15. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God has commanded thee. Six days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox nor thine ass nor ass nor anything, any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and maidservant may rest as well as thou. So far it's still the same. But then in verse 15, something is added. Remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So both times they're reminded, remember the, in Exodus 20, remember that God created you on that sixth day, and he rested the seventh. In Deuteronomy 5, we have the same thing repeated, but something is added. Remember also how I redeemed you from Egypt, how I created you, and how I redeemed you as my people. So first then, to rest in him. Verily, my Sabbaths, plural, you shall keep. Because God said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it, to celebrate it, to follow the instructions about it. The seventh day thou shalt rest, but on the seventh day, on the 6 days you work, on the seventh day shalt rest and not do any work. Now, you know what the word Sabbath means, I hope, by now. Children, do you remember? The word Sabbath means rest. That's all. Shabbat in Hebrew is rest. Don't work, rest. Physical rest, but also spiritual rest, mental rest, slowing down. Stand still before the Lord and know that he is God and hear his voice. Surely it was a sign of God's goodness that he allowed them to rest 1 day in seven. But after the Adam and Eve sinned, he told them, now from now on you work 7 days a week. No rest for the wicked. He could have done that. It's a sign of God's goodness to have this day. Sabbath day. Not a Sabbath morning or a Sabbath afternoon. A Sabbath day. How different God was compared to these Egyptian slave masters. They were hard taskmasters, slave drivers. They whipped them around and they had to do hard labor. From that, God delivered them. You can well be sure that in Egypt they had no Sabbath rest, these slaves. You think the Egyptians cared for a day of rest? For them? And isn't that really what this world offers, if you think about it? I want you to think about how people are living nowadays. They don't have a day of rest. They either keep working or they just keep pursuing their own things, and it's like a rat race. It's madness. No wonder there are so many people that suffer from burnout and depression, anxiety. There's no rest. And if they don't pursue their restlessness in work, they pursue it in entertainment, but neither provides the rest as God does on his day. So it's not just a commandment, the congregation, it's a privilege too. The Ten Commandments are 10 privileges. When it says, thou shalt not steal, to you, it means that he may not steal from me. It's a protection. It's a privilege. People may not only take from somebody else, but they may not also take from me. God protects. He gives everything that was needed, especially the Sabbath day. It's a sign, he calls it. A sign the Lord cares for his people. He remembers them and knows how frail and how weak they are. But we then, in return, should remember him. Certainly once a week on the Sabbath day, if not every day. Remember, he says, the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it. I find it beautifully also pictured in the Lord's Supper, when the Lord Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. And the Lord's Supper is held on the Lord's day, and that's to honor Jesus, who is the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm not now going into why we changed Sabbath Saturday to Lord's Day Sunday. That was just assumed to be understood at that time and by us. It's a sign. And you know, they knew the law. I already hinted at it when I said, when God says remember. They knew it. They knew it all along. They knew, and they kept it from creation. It's interesting that only two of the Ten Commandments do not begin with thou shalt not. You know which two? This is one of them, the fourth. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What's the other one? Honor thy father and thy mother. So the last one on the first table and the first one on the second table begin with a positive instruction. So they knew the law. And if you go back to Exodus 16, before the Lord spoke the law on Mount Sinai, in Exodus 16 we read of a man who gathered firewood and he was put to death for it. That was before they heard it on Mount Sinai. There's another thing that they knew about it, about collecting manna. They knew already that they would collect on the day before the Sabbath a double portion. All the other days, one portion, one day, one portion, one day. If they gathered more than the worms would crawl in it. But not on the day before the Sabbath. They could collect a double portion, and then the next day that portion was still there, no worms in it. I think that's a beautiful picture. Daily manna. Of course, that's a picture of Jesus already, the bread from heaven. When the Pharisees were tempting Jesus to do a sign, show us a sign, show us a sign. And Jesus, I mean, he had shown many signs already. But they referred back to Moses, like in Moses, he had manna come from heaven. What did you do? And Jesus said, Moses didn't give you that bread, I am that bread from heaven. John 6, I'm the bread of life. So the beautiful thing of the Sabbath day is that they got bread without having to work for it. It was free. Because they worked for it on the day before. It was Friday, of course, for them. The day before the Sabbath. So they collected the double portion, so they got everything ready for the next day. What a beautiful picture is how we get ready for the Lord's day. We try to get everything done before the Lord's day. I'm sure some of you mothers have already prepared the food for today, yesterday. Well, all you have to do is warm it up or whatever, put it in the oven. And children, I'm sure that maybe on Saturday night, to avoid the rat race and the rush on Sunday morning, maybe your mom says, okay guys, put your clothes ready for tomorrow. And your shoes, everything. Put it all ready. So that tomorrow morning, we don't have to look all over the house to find it and get late for church. Things like that. That's like getting a double portion of manna on the day before the Sabbath. It's about that free gift, is the point. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus who freely came and freely is received by repentance, as we heard this morning, and believing in his name. Really, all Sabbath keeping in the Old Testament, as it all in the New Testament, was all focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. He called himself the Lord of the Sabbath. Matthew 12, verse 8. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Creator. He's the Redeemer. He's the one that was there when they were created. He was there already when God came after Adam and Eve and spoke the Word. The Word always is and was the Son of God, the Messiah to come. The Word was with God. The Word was God. In the beginning it was there already. And He became flesh. Dwelt among us. So Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. He kept the Sabbath. He fulfilled the Sabbath. And He also owned the Sabbath. That's one of the reasons why we move from Sabbath to the Lord's Day. Old Testament Sabbath was the Lord's Day, surely. But the New Testament Sabbath was the Lord's Day in a more glorious way. David remembered the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, where all these Old Testament ceremonies and prophecies were fulfilled. And he could say he's risen indeed. The Old Testament has come true. The scriptures are fulfilled, being fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand, as we heard this morning. So remember Him as the Lord our God for two things: for His creation and for His redemption. I already mentioned the distinction between Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. Exodus 20 almost exclusively focused on creation, where God created everything in 6 days and then He rested on the seventh day. Children, do you think God was tired after 6 days, that He had to rest a little bit? No, of course not. Had nothing to do with tired. Had everything to do with delighting in what He had done. He looked at it and He delighted in it. And He wants us to delight in the Sabbath day. That's really what rest is. Okay, rest is also for the body and the mind, but mostly for the soul. And delight ourselves in the Lord our God. Not only that He created us, but also that He redeemed us. That He separated us from the world. That's what Deuteronomy 5 adds to the law. They had to remember not only that God rested and that you shouldn't work on the seventh day, but He says, also remember that you were slaves in Egypt. I delivered you. I redeemed you from Egypt. Therefore, so in Exodus 20 we read, In 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Deuteronomy 5 ends, remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand, by stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. That doesn't contradict each other. It supplements each other. It adds to the keeping of the Lord's day. That we don't just remember we're created, but we're redeemed also. And that's what I say about physical rest. Yes, God is good and gracious. He gives us physical rest. We need it. Undeniably, Jesus was tired too. He had to sleep. Sometimes your heart could sleep. He went to pray in the middle of the night, but the people were there already and they needed him. But he was exhausted. He needed sleep. We need sleep. We need rest. But most of all, we need spiritual rest. We need to be resting in our souls. We are a restless people. And it's not just enough to have one day not working. We need also a day delighting ourselves in the Lord our God. And show it to the people around us. That we delight to go to church. That this is the Lord's day. It's a good day. Puritans called it a market day of the soul. You could buy in all kinds of good things for your soul without money and without price. So He wants us to join in that. He wants us to join in that delight. That's really what resting in God is all about, because that's not only resting in God, but resting like God. That's why Jesus, as we heard this morning, went to the synagogue to hear the word, to read it, to preach it. to share it with the congregation. It's a covenant sign. It's a distinguishing mark to separate ourselves from the world, not because we're any better. God forbid if we ever would think that. We're sinners too. But we separate it from the world for a day to reflect, and we make it look to the world like this is the best thing possible. God gave us rest, body, mind, soul. I don't need necessarily, I'm not saying that you should never go to a psychologist, psychiatrist, but really if we find rest in God, that's really that answers the basic need of us as a human being. By the way, psychology is simply teaching about soul, of the psyche of man, which is the soul. We don't need secular psychologists. We have the greatest psychologist in Scripture, which is the Lord Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit. So there was a sign, a banner, that showed they were separated from the world. That's how the people in the surrounding countries would know Israel had a Sabbath day. Wow, what's that? Can you tell us about that? A banner under which to rally and look at and say, that's what we're fighting for. That's the king we serve. Isaiah 58 verse 13 and 14 says something right on the mark here. Isaiah 58 verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Psalm 37, right? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Why is that? Well, when we delight ourselves in God, then our desires that God created us with will be satisfied. And only then. And it brings us to the second point, because it's not only to rest in him, but also to worship him. We go from one sign to another here. But we're doing the same thing. We go from baptism, from circumcision to baptism, from Passover to the Lord's Supper. We go from the Sabbath day to the Lord's day. It's still the same sign, because it's perpetual covenant to worship him. So we move here from the gifts to the giver. But all God gives us, the goodness he bestows upon us by giving us such a day, we should be so filled with a desire to return it back to God, to worship him, to praise him and glory in him and to sing his praises. So then, for one day in seven, we lay down our lawful and godly calling. We just lay it aside to focus our hearts and minds on the Lord our God. The Lord says, you shall keep my Sabbaths, plural. Verily, he says. Same as Jesus said, that's an oath. My Sabbaths ye shall keep. All 52. All generations. All the New Testament. Because God says it shall be a sign. It is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. That you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. So even though the day is changed from Saturday to Sunday, it still is the Lord's day. It's still the same focus, the same sign, the same worship. It's the Sabbath principle as a day of rest, a sign of the covenant of God with his people, which is perpetual. God repeats it several times in these verses. 14, 15, 16, 17. Look at 16 and 17. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout the generation for a perpetual covenant. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So the law still consists of 10 commandments. Really, if you talk with some Christians today, it's almost like there's only 9. Look at verse 18. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. That was the same 2 tables that Moses went down and threw in pieces when he saw these people worship a golden calf. And it included the 4th commandment. We still have 10 commandments. So we still are called to keep the Sabbath day holy. God says, I made you a holy people, a separated people. So you also keep that day holy, separated unto me. And it's not just going to be a burden, it's a delight. Are you believing that? Do you believe that? That it's a delight? Are you, when you go to church and you hear the things, you go back home, do you feel the battery recharge at times? Refocused, re-energized. Not that anything changes apart from your perspective. A joyous anticipation, a foretaste also from great things to come, dear congregation. See, it's also about the Sabbath yet to come. We read in Hebrews 4, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. So even though they had already rest in him, even though the kingdom of God is already at hand and unfolding, there is still a greater Sabbath to come where truly we will keep the day unto God without faults. And in Hebrews 4, we're called to labor to get into that rest. It's a solemn charge at the same time. It speaks clearly about how serious the breaking of this commandment is. Twice he says that the soul shall be cut off from among his people if they do work on the Sabbath day. Verse 15 again, it says, you shall surely be put to death. 14 and 15, very solemn command, a solemn charge. Keep the Sabbath. But the focus is not so on the negative. What will happen if you don't do it? Don't even look that way. Turn the other way and delight yourself in the Lord. Learn what to do it. If you don't know what to do, search for it. And don't rest till you have that rest. That's what this laboring to get into that rest stands for. I know the rest is earned and obtained by Jesus. But we are called to wrestle with that. Lay hold of that. Own it. As Jesus did. My Sabbaths you shall keep. Keep it holy. It's a sign between me and you throughout your generations. So it's a sign of separation for a set apart people. It's an interesting thing. So it's a set apart people, and it's also a set apart day and a set apart place. Do you see that in this chapter? The first verses up to 11 was about a set apart place. The Lord is kind of summarizing to Moses what he had to do to build a tabernacle. It's the place of worship. In Exodus 20, he gave the moral law, but Exodus 21 and on, he gives the ceremonial law. This is what you have to obey. This is how you have to do it to get peace with me. Have bloodshedding. Have a ceremonial service in a tabernacle. Priests, animals being slaughtered. So you'd be reminded that's your blood that actually should flow, but I'm satisfied with a substitute. And I want you to come every Sabbath to rejoice in that. To worship me. So set apart place, set apart time, 52 days, and a life of service, 365 days. It's not just about the Sabbath day. Back then on Saturday, today on the Lord's Day on Sunday, but in a sense every day is a sense of focus to rejoice and delight ourselves in God, that He will provide everything we need if we're believers. It's followed by a holy life of service to keep all the Ten Commandments, as verse 18 intimates. So Israel was to be a Sabbath-keeping nation. It was a sign for Israel. Remember, power with God, Israel. Power with God. To the surrounding nations. So that they would speak well of this people. Look what a people they are. What a God. Look at how blessed they are. For their own well-being, for the glory of God, and for a witness to the surrounding people. And still so today, I was thinking about that the other day. Maybe you heard about that, about Chick-fil-A, that it is now number one fast food chain in America. Did you know that? Everybody said, oh, that won't work. You're going to be closed on Sunday, on the Lord's Day? No, of course they don't use it with Lord's Day, they say Sunday. You won't be able to compete. They're number one. And it's clear you walk into a Chick-fil-A store, we are closed on the Lord's Day, on Sunday. Number one, they surpassed McDonald's and Burger King, and you name them all. And now they're moving into Canada too. And there's another one, Hobby Lobby, another one that honors the day of God. Greatly blessed. And the remarkable thing is that they're doing well for the customers, but also for the employees. They pay good wages. They help you whenever you need help as a Christian. In places where there's Christian day schools, they help their employees paying the tuition. What a witness that is. What a witness that they're successful. That they're doing so well. People say, amazing, they work only 6 days and they're making more money than all of us in seven. What a witness. How to God that more people, more businesses would do the same thing. God honors that. There's nothing new under the sun. All of that was foreshadowed in the Old Testament. Too bad that the people of Israel didn't keep these days and didn't worship the Lord as they should. And they were, instead of the glory to God to the nations around them, they were to a shame. We saw it in Hosea, how God says, they will not anymore speak well of you, but they will disdain you. They'll actually mock you. Here, these people of Israel would serve the gods of the countries they just defeated. I mean, even anyone with a measure of common sense could see the absurdity of that. You'd think that these people that of the nations they conquered would worship their own God. You'd say, well, your God is more powerful than ours. Striking, isn't it? So there's a lot of things that speaks in the Catechism, speaks about that the ministry of the gospel be maintained. It says also the schools. That's interesting. Originally that meant Sabbath schools, where they sent the children to a Sabbath school on the Sabbath to be educated. We have got something similar. We have Sunday school. We have catechism classes. Sunday school, when you learn the stories, as I said this morning, of the Bible, and you go through the Bible that way. And then you got the catechism, and then you go by certain doctrines and teachings. The Jewish children had something similar. Schools to be maintained. And in the time of the Reformation, it not only meant schools for children, but also for schools to train ministers. Seminaries. As necessary, because they came out of the Roman Catholic Church, they had no idea how to preach and teach. And they realized the importance of having schools where pastors and preachers will be trained for the next generation. To not lose the main truths of the gospel. We are privileged with PITS, our own seminary, but also our own Sunday school. And of course, the preaching and the teaching, and that's why we preach out of the catechism once a Sunday, and also we preach through Bible books. So the one you could say when we preach through Mark, you could say that's biblical theology, we follow the Bible. And catechism is systematic theology, where we follow certain doctrines to make sure that we don't forget certain doctrines over the period of a couple of years. And it says, diligently frequent the church. That's an interesting word. Diligently frequent. The word frequent, in the sense of going a place, is not that often used anymore. We use the word frequent more as sense of often. But the original meaning of the word frequent is visit often, attend often, repeatedly, diligently. Make use of the opportunities to gather with God's people when they're there, especially on the Sabbath, it say that is on the day of rest. That implies there may be other days as well. There may be Bible studies, there may be prayer meetings or whatever. But particularly on the Sabbath day, on the day of rest, afford yourself the opportunities that God provides. Particularly on the Sabbath day, to worship the Lord. So I've seen about this sign of the Sabbath of the Lord, to rest in Him, physically, mentally, spiritually, rejoice in Him, delight in Him. Second, to worship Him, that is when we sing and when we pray and when we praise and when we give our tithes and offerings and hear His voice and preach the Word, sing the Word, pray the Word, as it were. Remember from Hosea, take with you words to go to God. Bring His own word back to Him. That's what we do on the Sabbath day, on the Lord's day. But also to serve Him. And to serve Him is not just go to church on Sundays and say, well, I serve God. So what do we do in the temple of God? We think of mercies past. And what we read, we sang together, about Mount Zion go, her towers and ramparts tell. What does that mean? That your strength may know. Well, what you do when you come to church on Sunday, you're going to depend and meditate on how safe you are, how secure you are. On Mount Zion, that's the picture of Jerusalem and the heavenly Jerusalem, the towers and the ramparts, as the walls and the fortresses to keep you from the enemies. Her towers and ramparts tell you, count all these towers, all these ramparts, and all these soldiers, the legions of angels, that you may know her strength. So be encouraged also to serve Him. Because I don't know if you noticed, but that text says more than just what I just have preached on. Verily, my Sabbath you shall keep, for it's a sign between me and you throughout your generations. And then he goes on to say, that means in order that, you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. What does that mean? That you may remember that I am the one who set you apart. Not just to worship on Sunday, but to go into this world and live the Christian life. I sanctified you for that. I justified you. I saved you. I redeemed you so that you then may do what you're called to do. In my strength. Set apart for holy service. Consecrated. Not just to worship in church on Sunday and think that is it, but you see, to affect the rest of the week. So we come to the Lord's Day on Sunday and we look back at the sins, we confess them, and God forgives them, and it gives us new energy, new zeal, and new delight to serve Him more fully in the week to come. And the next week, the same thing. So when we come to church, not only get ready for it ahead of time, prepare your mind and your family, as I said earlier, but also when you go home with your family, or as a couple, or as an individual, reflect upon what you heard. Talk about it together. Ask questions. Husbands, wives, wives, husbands, parents, children, ask questions. What did Pastor talk about today? Or Oh, maybe you should then say, well, we know actually it wasn't the pastor who was just speaking, right? No, it's God who speaks. I remember in Grand Rapids once, one little child, but the parents always said we go to church to hear the voice of God. So this little child went to church and really for a while thought that I don't mean to mock it, but really the little child was that there was God speaking. And then the parents had explained, no, that's still pastor, but God speaks his word through him. But the child really thought for a moment that was God who spoke. And of course, that's not the way it is. It wasn't Moses who spoke. It wasn't the prophets who spoke. It was God speaking through them, also through the apostles. The only one who spoke as God was Jesus. And God has ordained it in such a way that he will continue to speak through men, through human voices. Even Jesus was a man standing before the people in that synagogue. So Sabbath is a day of rest. And rest indeed. Try to minimize the work that you need to do. Works of mercy, works of necessity, works of emergency, but for all the rest, keep it out for the other days. And use it not only to rest the body, but also the soul. Cease from your daily calling for one day. And then be occupied in your special calling as a Christian, whether it be full-time or part-time, as we heard this morning. But whether it be father or mother, every calling is a godly calling. And how can we serve in that calling more like Christ? By thinking more about what we heard that Sunday and search the scriptures. Diligently frequent the house of God. Also says something about contribute to the relief of the poor. That's more than about giving money, right? It's giving from the heart. It's more than tithes and offerings. Ultimately, it's giving of yourself. As Christ did. He gave up himself. He became poor, but others may be rich. But then it says also something about, I cease from all my evil works. And that is about the rest of the week and the rest of my life. I cease from all my evil works, the Catechism says, and yield myself to the Lord all the days of my life. So I'm not only yielding myself on the Lord's day, but every day. But on the Lord's day, I get, as it were, focused, directed, energized. Zero in certain aspect of our life when we can serve him better in the days to come. Holy place, holy time, for holy service. So the Sabbath day is a holy time. Coming together in a holy place, we call that the sanctuary sometimes, although we know that that's just a building. Just like the temple was just a building. And yet it was called holy. And the holy of holiest. It's because of the transactions that took place there. And the same here, because of the transactions that take place here in this particular place. Where God speaks so that we would repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. For the first time or again and again. All 10 commandments. Including the fourth, which for many Christians falls by the wayside, perhaps even by us. Because it's not just about coming to church. As I said often, we don't come to church, we are the church. And so to be a witness in this world, because we go to church on the Sunday, on the Sabbath, on the Lord's Day, and we go back into the world, and there we are going to be a flavor, a savor of life unto life, or death unto death. That's a sign, a distinguishing mark to the world, a banner under which to rally. In this time especially, but of course every time is bad in itself. Every people that lived in certain times thought that they were living in the worst of times. Many people say we live in the worst of times. That's true. In many ways true. But I don't know if it's the worst of times, of all times. There were dreadful times in the past. But even if it is the worst of times, then we can have the best of message about love. Everyone talks about love. Well, let's not love only with our mouth, but also in deed and in truth. As we're trying to do with the Hope Cottages, for example. Many people that we speak to, every single one that calls for help, they, one way or another, when I talk with them, have been disappointed in the church. Now, I give them the benefit of the doubt when I listen to them, but I think to myself, oh, was it really the church's fault or was it your fault? Why were you disappointed in the church? And in what were you disappointed in the church? Was the church maybe too honest? To your liking? You see? So of all these mothers that hope to come to the Hope Cottages, they have to learn these things. It's a privilege to be a Christian, a privilege to have a day set apart to rest. That they may tell their children and their children their next generation. And so a whole generation of many people may be refocused. The banner to rally under is the name of the Lord Jesus, and it's about the love of God manifest in Him. That He lived and died on our behalf. So great. God so loved the world that He gave His Son, His only Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish, but have life, everlasting life, everlasting love. Jesus kept the Sabbath holy. He exemplified the Sabbath. He transformed the Sabbath because He kept it. And apart from doing that, He went out of His way to heal the sick. We read in Acts this testimony of the Lord that He went about doing good. And it says before, actually in Acts 10:38, this is the whole text, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. We heard it this morning. Anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost when the Holy Ghost as the shape of a dove came down. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, authority, it's the same word, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The Pharisees didn't understand it. They thought that He broke the fourth commandment by healing people on the Sabbath day. They just totally didn't understand the purpose of the Sabbath. Jesus says, I'm not breaking the Sabbath. And He even used the example of the priests who worked on the Sabbath day in the temple. They were blameless, He says. They didn't realize that their own priests were laboring on the Sabbath day. For breaking the Sabbath then? Because they did some work? Jesus says, I am Lord of the Sabbath. So the main purpose of keeping the Sabbath day holy is to remember God's goodness in giving us physical life and spiritual life. And so share it with the world that He has given us rest. Where else do we find rest in this restless world? This deadly rat race where people keep pursuing things that won't satisfy, eventually die discouraged, depressed, take their own lives, use drugs and alcohol, and the end in despair. There's no rest. There's no delight, no fulfillment, no satisfaction. We have that privilege to do these things, to do the one and the other, to hear the word of God, but also to reach out to those in our community that are in need, or maybe even among your family, to visit one another, to see people that you know about that need extra help. Be the hand of Christ and the word of Christ, and bring, that's what we hope to do in Hope Cottages too, is to not just give them a place where they can learn certain things and how to live their life better and get on their own 2 feet. We want to get the gospel to them. Because if you get that to them, if they repent and believe the gospel, no matter what happens after the 90 days, they're going to be okay. They will want to join the church. And because they will want to join the church, they will not be homeless again. And the children will have a way out of that crazy cycle. Because a lot of these mothers come from families that are not much better. That's a Sabbath. If only these mothers knew about the Sabbath keeping and going to church and joining themselves to a fellowship and the household of God, they would be helped by the people. As you heard this morning, that we must help the people in need, but first those of the household of God. And Jesus says in Matthew 25 verse 40, he says, "As inasmuch as you have done it to me," inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. So when we then have a Sabbath, and we reflect upon what Jesus came to do for us, and we get encouraged that there is forgiveness, and also that there is new energy and zeal to serve him like Jesus, and go out, do like him, we at the same time begin already to have a foretaste of that eternal Sabbath where we'll do it in perfection. Now we fail, we stumble and we fall, and that's why we need another Sabbath day to be washed and cleansed. We hear the law read and the gospel preached. Repent and believe the gospel. One day they will come. We don't have to repent and believe anymore because we live by sight. I couldn't even imagine what that is. To live without sin is totally incomprehensible to me. But I believe it based on the Word of God, and I know that Jesus was tempted in all points like us, yet without sin. And because he did it in a human body like mine and yours, we can do it too when we look to him and get the same Holy Spirit dwell in us as dwells in him and in the Father. That's the sign. Verily, my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it's a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Amen.